For me, it's... So I've heard someone say all day. But for me, it's just before tea. I'm simultaneously cooking, washing up, cleaning, messaging, laying the table, sorting out washing, sorting out a squabble, checking something on my phone, admiring something one of the children is showing me, and thinking as well about all the things on my to-do list. Oh, and I still haven't done that birthday card. Plus, we're on a time deadline because at 6 o'clock, it's football practice. I wonder what time it is for you. Really briefly, can you just turn to someone close by and share at what time of day or in what circumstance are you most at risk feeling overwhelmed or stressed out? Just for 1 minute, just someone close to you. What time of day or in what circumstance? I don't know what time of day that is for you. order. I don't know at what time of day that is for you. Perhaps it's midway through the working day when everyone needs you and messages and requests are coming in faster than you can manage them. And that, oh, could you just, from your manager, send you over the edge? Or perhaps it's when you're on your own and the big problems of life weigh you down or the needs of those around you just seem overwhelming. I'm guessing whatever your life situation, whether single, widow, divorced or married, whether children fill the house or not, whether in paid work or not, life can just seem utterly overwhelming at times. We've made it through our night of worries, using the Operation Philippians 4 battle plan. We've got out of bed, despite the weariness, knowing the Lord is coming soon. But, wow, life. So often I am tearing around, doing the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Martha could certainly relate. She was up to her eyeballs. Guests everywhere, food to prepare, and would you believe it, someone propping up the worktop, explaining a complicated problem, and they're in the way of the drawer she needs. Oh, and someone else has just come in and they're bound to need a cup of tea. Martha's stress levels are rivaled only by her resentment levels, because Mary, her darling sister, is sitting down in the living room. Let's read the story. It's in Luke 10. It should be in your handouts as well. As Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." "My dear Martha," Jesus says to her, she's stressed, she's resentful, she has practically told Jesus off, and yet, "My dear Martha," put your name there, My dear Sherry, my dear Debbie, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. What does God want from me? We so easily fall into the trap of imagining God is just like that boss who's always got one more thing he'd like us to do. And you don't mind if you, and squeezing our last bit of time and energy. But Jesus doesn't say, oh, there you are, Martha. Could you just whip up another dessert? And there was a spillage on the carpet. And he doesn't say to Mary, Martha's sister, yeah, up you get, back in the kitchen. No, you can hear the love and the compassion for both these sisters, even the frazzled one. My dear Martha, there is only one thing you truly need, and that one thing is himself. I remember years ago as a teenager helping out on a summer camp for 8 to 11-year-olds. There was a swimming pool on site and we were having a group swim. Some of the young boys got a bit overexcited and they decided to duck my head under the water and hold it there just for a moment. And I can still, to this day, remember that panic as it happened, as I was held under. I know it was a fraction of a second, but I can feel the panic. I was scared and I fought to get back to the surface. And then, I'm sorry to say, I shouted at the one boy who didn't immediately swim away. But when you're unable to get to the air, there is just one thing that matters to you. One thing you want, one thing you need, one thing you cannot live without. Oxygen. Jesus is like oxygen. Life flows from him. Without him, we are spiritually dead. With him, so I'm struggling with hair and the mic again. With him, we know light and life pumping through our veins. Mary's heart was full of wonder as she sat and listened to Jesus. Her heart was settled as she sat at his feet, knowing that that was the best place to be. We're not told in the passage, but it's not hard to imagine Mary pouring out all her worries to Jesus and resting in the peace that he brings, all the struggles in life and demands of life fading away as she sat with her Lord. Do you know, I have imagined myself in Martha's place in the kitchen 100 times. You might have done too. But let's imagine ourselves in Mary's place, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to our Lord, enjoying that closeness to him, breathing deep on the oxygen of his presence, knowing he's the one who can sort every problem, he's the one who directs my life, he's the one who brings restoration and joy, he's the one carrying us. What does God want from me? Another committee, another late night doing admin, another hour at work, another load of washing. He wants my heart. He wants me to sit at his feet and he wants me to daily draw life and strength from him. He wants me to have peace. The other week, I was at Chantry Library and overheard a conversation which I am sure has been played out down through history. Come on, we need to go now, says the mum. I don't want to, it's not fair, toddler replies. Come on, you're just tired. I could hear it coming before it left the little boy's mouth. I'm not tired. Oh, but you are. My friends, and aren't we so often tired? And that increases our feelings of stress and not being able to cope. I bet you Martha was tired that day. I bet you she was the sort of person who was always rushing around when she really should be in bed, getting that one last thing done. I bet that she struggled to switch off even when she switched off the light. If you ever fancy a really, really scary book, can I recommend Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker? Because the stats for what lack of sleep does to us, in both the short term and the long term, on our health, on our emotions, on our ability to drive, on our ability to cope, are frightening. Put simply, if we don't go to bed, we're going to feel overwhelmed when the pressure is on. Our physical state seriously affects our emotional state. Our Heavenly Father, He wants us to sleep. He designed us to need sleep. But it's all very well reading a book like that and knowing all the statistics about how getting less than 7 hours sleep a night seriously increases our mortality, increases our irritability, decreases our ability to cope. But scaring ourselves into bed is only really going to work for a night or two. We need to look at some of the deeper things our hearts really believe if we're going to change our sleep habits and our priorities and become more of a Mary than a Martha. Let's turn back to Philippians 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see how that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. 6 times in Philippians chapter 4, Jesus is called Lord. Lord, the one in control, the one who understands us best, the one who directs us and guides us, and whose words we should rate more highly than our agendas and our to-do lists. When we're overwhelmed, this is the question we need to ask ourselves. Who is Lord? Who is Lord? If I think the answer is me, then I've got to perform and achieve and get the most out of every day and every hour that I can. I've just got to get that extra thing done before I go to bed. I'll miss sleep and I'll go and I'll go and I'll go. And then I'll lie awake thinking of all the things that I need to do the next day and all the things I'm trying to sort and control and do. And I'll think, tomorrow I'll go to bed on time, but tonight I just need to. Who is Lord? If I think the answer is me, I'll not be able to have a day off each week, because if I do, everything will fall apart. I'll try and fix everyone's problems and be everything to everyone. Sorry, not that one yet. Who is Lord? If I think the answer is me, then I've got to hold this church, this family, this workplace, this world together. I will take on too much, try and do too much. I'll say yes to everything. I'll work harder, longer. I'll worry and fret, and quite frankly, I will crumble. Who is Lord? If I think the answer is me, and I fall into this trap all the time, I'll do more and I'll pray less. Plus, I'll feel resentful towards others who don't seem to be doing so much. Tell my sister to get in the kitchen. Who is Lord? If I think the answer is me, I'll lack joy. I'll be snappy with those closest to me. I certainly won't be considerate in all I do. I'll feel like it's all down to me, and overwhelmed Martha will be my default position. The demands of life are never ending. There will always be more we could do in any area of our lives, at home, at work, at church, in our communities, in our wider families. But we are not designed by God to hold the world together. Who is Lord? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He'll keep the universe going while I sleep at night. He'll manage without me when I have a day of rest. He'll provide when I say no to something. Jesus is Lord. Okay, show of hands. How many people here use a lid when they're heating something, a saucepan, like peas or whatever. Who uses a lid? Most people. Thank you. I've been trying to do this lately, money saving and all of that. But I find that because I'm always trying to do 20 things at once, I don't keep an eye on the peas. And the inevitable always happens. I hear the sound as everything boils over again. But to be honest, it's the same when I wasn't trying to use a lid. It's always because I'm trying to put the cutlery on the table or doing this or that. And before I know it, I've got clean the hob on my task list. We can be like that internally too. The stress building, but if we ignore the bubbles and the steam, it'll be full on overwhelmed mess. We absolutely need to look at the big picture, like I've been talking about what we believe about Jesus, about how that affects what we do. But even if we've had a good night's sleep, we had a day off last Sunday, and we had time sitting at Jesus' feet that morning, still sometimes we can feel the stress levels starting to rise. And so we need a plan in that very moment when our inner Martha is rising up and threatening to boil over. Perhaps for you it's when you've got a deadline, plus you're rushing to the meeting and someone else needs you and it's bubble, bubble. What are you going to do in that moment to avoid? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. We should absolutely be Mary's, sitting at Jesus' feet in a set-aside time for prayer. But we can also be Mary's on the go, seeking to have a settled heart rather than a boiling over one, a heart which is drawing near to Jesus, our Lord, at the very moment when the pressure is on. Rather than just ploughing on, in that very moment, we can pray about everything, says Philippians. In that very moment, we can pray for the grace to be considerate and not lash out at those around us. In that very moment, we can pray for a calm mind and the right priorities so we know what the best thing to do is next. In that moment, we can pray for the strength for what he's calling us to do. In that very moment, we can thank Jesus that he is Lord. And this meeting, this digger session, this project, this whatever, isn't being done in my own strength, but his. He's carrying the load. He's the one thing we need. I know most of you have the handout today and not the church Bible, but you might notice if you have a look in the NLT Bible, after remember the Lord is coming soon, there's a little asterisk. And if you look down, it says at the bottom that the original is actually the Lord is near. And the Lord is near in two ways. One, remember the Lord is coming back soon. But he's also near in the moment, as the bubbles in the pan start to rise. So as you're rushing to the meeting or getting tea on the table, turn to him. He will help you. Let's spend a few moments now, just quietly on our own, just reflecting. And as we do that, I will just read the two key passages that we've been looking at this afternoon. But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is just one thing that we need. Thank you that Jesus is oxygen to us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to know that he is Lord and we are not. And would that transform our lives, we pray. Lord, we know we all experience those times of feeling overwhelmed. Lord, we pray you'd help us to look at the big picture of our lives and know that Jesus is Lord. And also in the moment, Father, we pray that you would help us to be Mary's on the go. Again, we know it's work in progress, but we pray that you would be at work in our hearts. Amen. I couldn't finish the day without some more book recommendations. I love The Busy Christian's Guide to Busyness. I know it's a slightly dated cover, but the book is brilliant. It's kind of divided into two halves. So the first half of the book looks at very practical things about how to get organised. But then the second half does what I've been trying to do this afternoon and get to some of those deeper heart issues, the things that we believe that affect what we do and how busy we are. So I definitely recommend that one. And then the second book, Refresh. I'm so sad not to have it on the bookstall because we did order it and then the stock wasn't ready in time. But I've got a sample copy and I'm very happy to order it for anyone. Again, it's brilliant and it looks at all the things like sleep and exercise and rest and all of those really key things from a biblical perspective. And it's so practical and so helpful. And finally, you don't have to buy the last one because hopefully you were given a copy on the way in. We haven't really talked about fear today, but our emotions are so linked, aren't they? So worry and fear, so close together. So I really would encourage you to read it. I don't think you'll find a more encouraging, strengthening book as this little one, thinking about fear. And maybe you might want to arrange with someone here, say, oh, should we meet in a month's time for a coffee and just chat it through? Because I know it's very easy to think, oh, yeah, I'll read that and then never get round to it. But if you've got a coffee deadline, it will help you maybe to read it. So I'll stick around. Please buy books. That would be great. Oh.